And so today, as previously noted, we are beginning a four-part teaching series that we call the Simple Series. And in this series, we'll be describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we are presently pursuing at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary mission. In fact, it was Jesus who said famously in what we oftentimes refer to as the Great Commission. Indeed, we're all commissioned by Christ. And what did he tell us to do? In Matthew chapter 28 and beginning at verse 18, and Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, to be disciples and to make disciples, at Holy Cross we're attempting to make this simple purpose the primary focus of everything that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others be disciples, we commit ourselves and invite others in the pursuit of a simple four-step process. Now, to help us get a handle on the process, we've created this simple visual there on the screen. The first step is to worship God regularly. To worship God regularly. The second step is to grow together faithfully. The third step is to serve others lovingly. And the fourth step, which, by the way, if you look at the visual, step one leads to step two, which leads to step three, which leads to step four, and step four takes you right back to step one. In fact, today we're talking about that first step in the process, and that is worshiping God regularly. Simply put, to worship God regularly means to worship together with other believers as a personal priority. That is a spiritual habit, something that you and I do regularly and consistently, as a personal spiritual discipline. In fact, if you think about it, the word disciple and the word discipline are closely related. In fact, the word, the root of the word discipline is disciple. Indeed, a disciple, amongst other things, is a person who engages in discipline. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to engage in the same disciplines that Jesus himself engaged. Now we're back to a disciple is not greater than his teacher. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. And one of the disciplines that Jesus engaged in consistently and regularly was to worship with others on a weekly basis. Maybe you didn't know that with all this moving back and forth from the Galilee to Judea and so on. But Jesus worshiped God regularly, even on a weekly basis, not to mention his going to the festivals at least three times a year in Jerusalem, etc., etc. But that's what we read in the scriptures. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Indeed, Jesus didn't just do 9 of the 10 commandments. In fact, we had the reading of the 10 commandments from Exodus chapter 20. He didn't just do 9 of them. He did all 10, including the fourth, keep the Sabbath day holy. Holy meaning set apart, special. It's not just another day or another time. And of course, the Sabbath under the old covenant was the last day of the week. And now under the new covenant, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Now that holy day is the day of his resurrection. In fact, every single day, and in fact, Lent tells us this. There's no fasting on Sundays in Lent, because the days of Lent actually are 6 a week, plus 4 more from Ash Wednesday to the first Saturday before, well, I'm getting too technical, the first Sunday in Lent. But there's no fasting on the Sundays in Lent, because they are feasts of the resurrection. But as we've already noted, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to do as Jesus did. And so if you ever wake up on a Sunday morning, I know you've never had this experience. And by the way, people will say to you, well, you have to go to church, it's your job. Do you think it's always been my job? In fact, maybe that's why it's my job now, because I came, it's just like the dentist who asked the patient if he brushed his teeth religiously, and he said, well, if you're asking me if I brush my teeth more often than I go to church, the answer is yes. But if you ever wake up on a Sunday morning and you're tempted to stay home and skip church, and then you're wondering, you know, WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? The answer to the question is that he would go to church. And how do we know that? Because he did. Indeed, Jesus worshiped God regularly and habitually. As Luke says, Jesus worshiped every Lord's Day, as we are called to do, and it was his custom. As we might describe it today, Jesus was a regular churchgoer. Indeed, when the people of God gathered for worship, Jesus was there. And to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to do the same. And so that's the first thing. Jesus worshiped God regularly. Secondly, the scriptures say that God is with us in a special way when we worship him regularly, together. Indeed, Jesus himself says that he is present with us in a special way whenever we gather in his name. Matthew 18 and verse 20, forever, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, we're here in his name for a purpose that he defines and describes and calls us to. We're here because of Christ. Not because we ride motorcycles or we collect stamps or bake exotic bread. It isn't a club. It's the church. And no matter how much money we have or where we work or what neighborhood we live in or what our background is or any of that, what ties us together and makes us one is Christ. If you've ever been to a service, by the way, a service of worship and where they're speaking, and I hear about this all the time because this happens all over the world, where they speak a language that you don't know. But they're singing songs and you know the tune. And you feel connected, even though you don't understand, because you know the words in your language. And they're weeping and they're singing and they're praising God. God's the creation. God, oh, by the way, God knows all the languages and will hold you accountable in those languages. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them, with them, in the midst of them. Indeed, the scriptures say that God inhabits the praises of his people. For some reason, God loves it when we come together and say, you know what, God? You're great. And we are exalted when we do that because he is our creator and our redeemer and our sustainer. And when we connect with him, we're connecting with life. We're connecting with the divine, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all that God is, a community of persons. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says, "And yet the Lord, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." Or enthroned means to be seated. To be seated means to dwell, to be present, if you like. In fact, famously in the King James put it this way, that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's where he dwells. And where his special presence, according to Jesus, is experienced. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that you can't worship God anywhere. In fact, I have to say, I worship God more somewhere else than I do here. Because I'm only here with you on an hour on Sunday. And maybe meet with groups of different types and so on. But I'm kind of worshiping all the time. I worship myself to sleep. I worship myself awake. And if I'm washing the dishes, or even worse, if I'm doing the lawn, I hate yard work. I hate it. So I pray through it. And so this doesn't mean that you can't worship God somewhere else. God is everywhere. And you can worship him in other places. It simply means that God wants us to worship him together. He seeks worshipers in the plural, Jesus said in John chapter 4. And God seeks worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, that God is present in a special way when we are together with each other to worship him. As the scriptures say, God inhabits the praises of his people. And so that's the second thing. God is with us in a special way when we worship him regularly. And then thirdly, if you like, there is the challenge of worshiping God regularly. The challenge of worshiping God regularly. Indeed, for some self-described followers of Jesus Christ, worshiping God regularly seems a hard thing to do. The reason it's hard, I suppose, is because worshiping God regularly is a commitment. And we don't always do good with commitments unless there's some leverage against us that makes us do it. That's why we show up at work, but we don't show up at the gym. Unless you're committed to it and what it is that you're trying to get done. You have to pay your bills, so off to work you go. In fact, on the belonging course I have in the past, I have said, listen, by a show of hands, how many of you have ever lost sleep because you lost your job and you were concerned about money, you wondered, and so on, the loss of money? How many? All the hands go up. And then I say, and how many of you have ever lost sleep because you thought you were going to lose God? And no one's hands goes up. See, these are the things. In fact, I would say this. If you want to know what's most important to you, just straight up honest, ask yourself, what are the things that produce anxiety in you? And those are the things that you care about most. And the threat of the loss of them robs you of your peace. But worshiping God regularly, a hard thing to do. Because what? Because it's a commitment. And if you would make worshiping God regularly your own habit and custom as Jesus made it his, you have to decide you're going to commit to it. I'm going to be there unless something otherwise keeps me from doing it. That's the commitment. I'm not here all the time. Sometimes I have to be out of town, or sometimes I go on a vacation or whatever. We all know that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that's what we have. We have rules and we have exceptions. And the exception to the rule. What's the rule? What's my rule of life? What's my discipline? What's my commitment? Indeed, seeing worship as only one of many things that I might do on any given Sunday isn't the same as committing to God regularly. Indeed, if you would make worshiping God regularly a personal spiritual discipline, you'll have to decide to commit to it and to all the spiritual benefits that you will gain from it. Richard Foster, in his great book, still in print now after some 30-some years, the celebration of discipline. Like, I bet there's a lot of people that walk past that book. I don't know if I can celebrate that. But he celebrates it. And it's a fantastic book. Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline. He said, the purpose of the disciplines is spiritual growth. And someone else has written, regular worship, like all the spiritual disciplines, is about the power cumulative effect. Like somebody said, that faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. Well, should we go to Sunday? Go! I don't feel like it. Go. Why? Because of the principle of cumulative effect. You go and you go and you go and you go and you hear and you learn and you're touched by the Spirit. And you pick up something new and you see something in the Scripture you never saw before and it takes root in you. But that doesn't happen if you're not here. We're in Easter. Think of Thomas. Where was he that first night? And God in his grace showed up the second night so Thomas would get it too. Regular worship is like all the spiritual disciplines. It's about the power of cumulative effect. That is to say, the more you do it, the more you gain from it. Or someone else has written, again, regular worship is about deliberately investing time in worship and then as a result accumulating the personal spiritual capital that is gained from it. Indeed, the Scriptures say that God is the rewarder of those who commit to regularly seeking him. In fact, as Conley read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the last verse in the text that she read, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God won't allow you not to be blessed. His reputation is on the line. The reason why we're not receiving these things is because we're not in proximity to God, at least not in our mind and our heart. But he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm not so very far from retirement. I think after I retire, I might take a break for a few weeks. And then you know where I'm going to be? In church. You know why? Because he meets with us in a special way, just like he's meeting with us now. I can't afford. I have tasted and I know. I have tasted and I have seen that the Lord is good. Maybe I can live without money, but I can't live without God. And to commit yourself to worshiping God regularly is to honor him. And God promises that when we honor him, he will honor us. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, God says, and those who honor me, I will honor. As Jesus put it himself in the famous kingdom parable, the parable of the talents. And you know how it ends. And Jesus says, and the master said to the good and faithful servant, well done. You have honored me and I am honoring you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little thing. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. That's God all over. The apostles praise him. The white-robed army of martyrs praise him. The prophets praise him. Read the book of Revelation. And he says, these are my sheep. These are my people who serve me even in many cases unto death. Enter into the joy of your master. And all of that starts with step one. That God is worth my time. And so perhaps you'd like to be more than just an interested bystander. Oh, that was an interesting little talk today. Oh, I just love it when Scott gets excited. And then you walk away and I don't see you for weeks. I guess there's something more exciting somewhere else. But perhaps you're interested in more than that. Perhaps you'd like to be a real disciple, a real follower of Jesus Christ, but you're not exactly sure where to begin. Well, if that describes you, I'd like to invite you to commit to step one. Commit yourself to worshiping God regularly and be faithful to God with that little thing. And watch what happens. It's not complicated. Indeed, it's simple, as all the disciplines are. But in order for a spiritual discipline to work and bear fruit in your life, you have to commit to it. And so that's the first step. Worship God regularly. And as we've said, the first step is just the beginning. Indeed, we are talking about a process that has four steps. And so next week, we're going to talk about step two, which is growing together faithfully. And if you commit yourself to step one, I guess I'll see you next week. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. It's simple enough, Lord. But there's a principle. It's the principle of the harvest. The principle of the harvest. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The question is, what are we sowing? What are we sowing? What are we sowing? How are we spending our money and our time and the gifts that you've given to us? What are we doing with them? Who gets them? Who benefits from them? And what are we doing regarding you? Are you at the center of our existence? Are you somewhere on the periphery? Out on the edges? Like a police precinct, or like the fire department. Well, the fire department, they only come here when we have a crisis. And is that the kind of relate? Well, once in a while, well, we sometimes give to the fireman's ball or whatever. There's nothing, Lord, in Jesus, nothing in the gospel that's halfway anything. It's absolutely demanding. Jesus, you want all of our life. And when we give it to you, and when we serve you, as Cranmer said, then we experience perfect freedom. Because now we are behaving like you designed us to behave from the very beginning, to live an ongoing, non-stop communion with you and meeting with your people on the Sabbath day. Help us to do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.